Welcome to the Antioch Christian Ministries podcast. We hope you enjoy this message from Pastor Jay Armalee.
I want to continue talking about wisdom. I feel like right now, the greatest thing we could be asking for, it's great to ask for revival. We want to see revival come. It's great to ask for a lot of things. But I think in this season right now, we need to be asking God for wisdom. Amen. Try that again. We need to be asking God for wisdom. Listen, I am honestly not worried about the pandemic. I'm worried about the results of what is happening to nations and people that has been unleashed because of the pandemic. I've never seen people at odds with each other ever in my life like I'm seeing right now. I've heard it said by a lot of people that people are even afraid to post anything on social media because they're not sure of the repercussions of a simple post. Somebody recently said they were posting about a rental unit of theirs, just a home, and she couldn't believe the backlash that she got from posting an ad of their unit. Like, you don't even know what to say anymore if you could post an ad about a unit and get backlash about COVID and all the other things. So there is a real heightened sense of anxiety. There's a heightened sense of anger. People are ready to flip at any minute. But as Christians, that is not our portion. I'm going to say that again. As Christians, that is not our portion. We're going to hang in James, but we're going to read different scriptures. But I want to read something right off the bat out of James. So if you turn to James with me, that would be fantastic. If you have your Bible app, pull it out. Open it up. Pastor Gary touched on this the other day. I'm not sure if it was out of James or Romans when you mentioned it, but I won't even ask you to raise your hands because that would be not fair. But in your mind, in your heart right now, think if I ask a question, how many think that they are mature? Answer the question in your mind. If you think you're mature, if you don't answer out loud. I have a test for you right here if you think you're mature. Ready? It says, James 1, verse 2. My brethren, count it all joy when you receive $1 million. Count it all joy when you get a new vehicle. Count it all joy when your house is paid off. Count it all joy when you fall into various trials. Oh. Knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect, and the word perfect actually means mature and complete, lacking nothing. So here's the crazy thing. What we've been talking about is wisdom, and you're going to hear me go back to this point over and over again, that right now in this hour, we have to learn, desperately learn, to ask the Lord to show us how to live kingdom and not earth. Because earth is all around us, and how people respond is all around us, but what I am saddened by is how many Christians are responding in the flesh. James is actually in a few minutes going to call it sensual or demonic. We think of sensual often in a different way, but we are often responding the way we've learned on the earth instead of learning as God responds in kingdom. And we desperately in this hour, if we truly want to see peace wherever we go, if we want to see and be ambassadors of Christ and see anger drop, we cannot respond the same way but expect kingdom results. You can only respond in kingdom and expect kingdom results. It's really, really important we get this. Because unfortunately, we're seeing it hit the body of Christ. We're seeing it hit a cross. I don't even like to honestly open up social media anymore because it's almost more vile than the news. And it's tragic because I'm watching people that really do love each other come against each other over something like a mask. And you may have, I'm not saying one opinion is right or wrong. I'm not going there. But how we respond is either right or wrong, right? How we respond is super, super important. So James talks about counting it all joy because when we do this, we'll actually get patience through the trial. So if you're finding yourself right now not being very patient, it's a great opportunity for you to go, okay, the gauge is here, peace is here, anger's here, and I'm finding myself not really, I'm over here in anger. Great opportunity to go, Lord, I've just somehow stepped away from you. How do I step back into you? It's just a telltale sign. I had on Friday, I was so frustrated, I had no idea why. It's just easy right now to slide into frustration or slide into anger. I literally feel like it's hanging when we wake up. It's like, what shirt do you want to put on today? And you have to decide to go, no, I'm going to choose peace today no matter what's around me. Amen? We got to talk about how to get there. So last week, keep your hand in James there. Last week, we talked about Nehemiah and Joseph, right? We talked about the fact that they, through serving with excellence, received prosperity and favor. Let me say that again. They served with excellence, and because of that, they received prosperity and favor. Just read a couple of scriptures. Nehemiah 1:11, let me prosper this day. That was actually his prayer. Nehemiah 2:5, if your servant has found favor. And over again, he was found to prosper. He was found to have favor. Joseph 39:2 says, the Lord was with Joseph and he was a successful man. The Lord made all he did prosper. It's powerful. Here's the key. Wisdom, favor, and prosperity are keys that open the door to bless and help others. Did you get that? Obviously not. I'll read it again. When you get it, let me know. Wisdom, favor, and prosperity are keys that open the door to help you bless others. Favor is meant to solve a problem you have become aware of. So Joseph's in the pit, or Joseph, sorry, is in the prison at this point. He gets favor on his life. Well, we can start with Potiphar's house. He gets favor, he helps the household. He goes to prison, he gets favor, he helps the prison household. He goes before Pharaoh, he has favor, he helps the nations around him, including Egypt. Every time he received favor, he realized this favor is not for me, this favor is for those around me. You got to understand this. Because in James, we're going to find out that a lot of the world's problems are actually coming from envy, jealousy, and selfish ambition. So if you get favor and you don't realize favor's for you, you could actually, without realizing it, become envious or jealous or hoarder of your favor, not realizing that favor is meant to bless others around you. We just had, and I keep going back to it, I really honestly am blessed by that miracle, June 27th. I think it was just called The Miracle. I think we shattered the record with something like, what was it, 2.1 million tons or pounds of food, 4 weeks to organize, and they broke the world record for food. And honestly, as far as organizing, I think literally they put the word out and those in Essex County said, let's do it. I love that. So, because we have favor, don't we? Like, either you can go into your pantry and pull out stuff automatically, or you have the money to go and buy. That's what we did. We didn't have enough stuff, so we went and bought a bunch of stuff. That's favor. We're prospering because we're giving to people that can't do that right now, that can't go into their pantry and pull out food, that can't go with an extra $40, $50 and just buy food for a neighbor. But if you're prospering, that is to bless others. Amen? Okay, so wisdom creates favor and prosperity. Unpacking wisdom is a huge task, I have come to find out. Let me prove it to you. You know, wisdom is no small task. Proverbs 8. If you don't read a proverb a day, I would encourage you to. How many want wisdom? There you go. There's your answer. Read a proverb a day. So often we want, but we don't do to get. That's what James talks about. Be doers of the word, not just hearers. Proverbs 8. Proverbs 8 is an incredible chapter. Look at verse 22, because he's talking about wisdom. And you want to talk about the power of wisdom. He goes into this story of creation. So obviously, Solomon is working under a prophetic anointing as he writes this, because he's actually talking about and seeing where wisdom was. This is Solomon, by the way. If you know Solomon, he's the one that God came to him in a dream and he said, what do you want? And he's like, you know what? I need wisdom because I have to lead people. He calls himself a child. He wasn't a child at that point, but he says, I'm like a child. I need help leading these people. And God says, because you ask for others and not for yourself, I'm going to give you wisdom, but I'm going to give you leadership, and you're going to prosper yourself. That's good. That's a good prayer, isn't it? Yeah. Lord, help us to have favor and prosperity for others. And God's like, because you've done that, I'm going to bless you too. Amen. So this is Solomon. So he's working under a prophetic anointing. And in verse 22, he writes this. He says, "The Lord possessed me at the beginning of his way." Literally the beginning of time. Okay, so we know how powerful God is. We have the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And now all of a sudden we have somebody written into the story that we didn't hear in Genesis 1. And he says, "The Lord possessed me." What is me? Wisdom at the beginning of his way. "Before his works of old, I have been established from everlasting, from the beginning before there was ever an earth." What he's going to describe is every time Jesus, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit really are creating something, wisdom's like, "You, that was me. I spoke into his ear." How do we know that? Let me just fast forward for a second. Verse 30 says, "Then I was beside him as a master craftsman." Who is wisdom beside? Wisdom was beside Father, Son, and Holy Spirit as they created the earth. Okay, so we're trying to unpack wisdom, and this is wisdom. Wisdom is the master craftsman going, "Hey, let's do this. Hey, let's build that. Oh, that's nice. Look at that. Oh, look at the mountain." And that's wisdom. But Proverbs 8:22 is describing all these things. Let's continue on. I think we were at, from the beginning, this is part of 23. "From the beginning, before there was ever an earth, when there was no depth, I brought forth. When there was no fountains abounding with water, before the mountains were settled, before the hills, I was brought forth. While as yet he had not made the earth or the fields or the primal dust of the world, when he prepared the heavens, I was there. When he drew a circle on the face of the deep, when he established the clouds above, when he strengthened the fountains of the deep, when he assigned to the seas its boundaries or limits so that the waters would not transgress his command, when he marked out the fountains of the earth, then I was beside him as a master craftsman, and I was daily his delight, rejoicing always before him, rejoicing in his inhabited world, as my delight was the sons of men." So much in there we're not going to unpack today. But what I love is this relationship where, like, God's like, "I'm so thankful wisdom was here." And wisdom's like, "I'm so thankful I was with you." It's this love relationship, right? I'm here with you, but you get to be with me, and this is beautiful. But what I want you to understand is this is the power of wisdom. So we already know that when you walk in wisdom, you have favor and prosperity. And when you serve in it, it's meant for others. When you serve well with excellence, wisdom and favor, it's for others. I want you to understand that wisdom is not just like, we often think that wisdom is, "Oh, he's wise because he can make a financial deal." Now, I think Pastor Claude is quite wise. He has financial wisdom. My dad and my mom have wisdom in different areas. But when we're talking about wisdom, the person almost of wisdom who was there at the beginning, we're talking about an incredible source. The beautiful thing is that Jesus said, let me read this scripture. You don't have to turn to it. 1 Corinthians 1:30 says, "But of him you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption." We talked about that last week, that Jesus literally became wisdom. Jesus became wisdom. And when we're in him and he's in us, we have access to that wisdom. How many would like a little more wisdom? Right now I have to make a decision. Chris and I are in a decision over something. I need wisdom. It's as simple as that. I need wisdom. So I'm right now saying, "Lord, I need you to speak into my ear." If you could speak into at the beginning, into you were with Father, Son, Holy Spirit in creation, well, surely I'm going to listen now. I need your wisdom about a small deal like I need to make. Amen? You with me? Let me tell you a story, and then I want to go back to James. If you want, you can turn to 1 Kings 4. I'm really just going to paraphrase 1 Kings 3. In 1 Kings 3, it's right after when Solomon prays for wisdom. He comes out of it, and literally the next thing he has is a challenging case that he has to judge on, because he's operating as a judge, as a king. Two prostitutes come to him, two harlots, it says. It's a crazy story. Two harlots come to him, and they have one baby. But as the story goes, each prostitute or harlot had a child, roughly around the same time. And they lived together. And while they were living together one night, As they went to bed, the one woman turned onto her child and suffocated her child. And when she woke up and she realized that her child was dead, she actually took her child and replaced it with the other child because they were around the same age. So when the other mom woke up, she's horrified to find this child that had passed away, only to realize that that's not her child. The other woman took her child. And now we have a problem because a judge has to determine whose child is this. So for anybody, that'd be like, oh my gosh, this is, how do you, like, no DNA test back then. Pretty easy now. Let's do a DNA test. We'll find out who's who. Done. But Solomon's like, what am I going to do here? So they tell their story and he's like, all right, here's what we're going to do. I don't know. This line would just freak me out right away. I would have given in. He's like, bring me a sword. If I was one of the prostitutes, I'd be like, it was me. I'm done. Thank you. Because you don't know what he's going to do. But he's, bring me a sword. And this is where wisdom kicks in. So in moments where we don't understand what to do, when you're on your computer and you want to speak out against someone, you need to say, Lord, give me wisdom. Because if I don't speak with wisdom right now, I could cause a whole lot of problems. And I'm seeing people right now, Christian and unchristian alike, causing a whole lot of problems. It's like anybody that opens up their mouth right now seems to be causing a whole lot of problems. So Solomon says, bring me a sword. And he says, this is what we're going to do. We're going to cut the baby in half. Can you even imagine saying this in a court? Cut the baby in half. You each have a half. Well, interesting enough, the woman that it was her child, she's like, no. You can give it to her. The other woman's like, yeah, go ahead, cut it in half. Solomon right away said, take the baby, give it to her, because she was willing to give up her own child to save the child's life. Incredible wisdom. And what it said later on, in I don't have the actual address of it, it says Solomon's wise judgment led to everyone knowing he had wisdom. His wise judgment went across the nation and everybody went, this man has wisdom from what he spoke. I personally think right now that's what Christians are supposed to be known of. These people have wisdom. You can go to them because they will bring peace in the situation you're in right now. The last thing I think we should be doing with the kingdom of God at our side is creating more stress, anxiety, or turmoil. Even, and you're going to find in James in a second, even if it differs from our opinion, we still have to be people that bring wisdom and peace. You ready to find out? Somebody ready to find out? Okay, turn to James. Go back to James, please. There's so many scriptures I could go to in Proverbs. And maybe I will next time. You know what I love in Proverbs? It talks about, in Proverbs 2, it talks about us yelling, crying out for wisdom. Literally, it's like shouting from the rooftops, wisdom, I need you, help me. And then in Proverbs, I believe it's 8 or 9, wisdom is calling aloud, hey, I'm over here. And the imagery that I had, I can't do it. It'd be like, you know, if Daniel Chalk stood up and we were both blindfolded. Daniel, just stand up for a second. And we're both blindfolded and we can't see. And it would be like, Daniel, you call my name, Daniel. Daniel? Daniel? Daniel! And we began to try to find each other. That's the imagery I get. Thank you, Daniel. Yeah, Marco Polo. But it's this idea of wisdom wants me and I want wisdom. And if we look for each other, if we find the voice, we'll find it. And that's the desperation. But wisdom's like, hey, over here, please come see me. And he often will say, you simple people, you foolish people, because wisdom's looking on going, dear Lord, you need me. I'm right here. I feel like he's doing it right now. Amen? I'll amen myself. Amen. Okay, turn to James. Are you there? I'm not. Pastor Rod, you have to be prophetic. Let's see if you're prophetic or pathetic today. Just today. We're going to start in James 1. Just trying to find it, and it keeps escaping me. You guys in James yet? There we go, James. It's like the pages get stuck because I was in them today. All right, James 1, I got good news for you. If you're like, I don't have wisdom, verse 5. This is the best news all day. You ready? James 1 verse 5. Real simple. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach. It will be given to him. Best news of the day. You don't have to jump through hoops. You don't have to pay for it. If you go online right now, you'll find 1,000 different programs that you can get into to increase a lot of things in your life, increase finances, increase wealth, increase your mindset, all that. And there's nothing wrong with it. But right now, he says, if any of you lacks wisdom, ask. So right now, let's do it. God, I need wisdom. God, I need wisdom. It's a great thing to begin to do every day. Say, Lord, I'm waking up today and I need Holy Spirit. I need you to give me wisdom. I need you to walk with me. I always go to Ephesians and Colossians. It says, spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of God. We're really calling out to say, Lord, I need to know you and I need to know what you would do. Right now, we need to stop thinking of what we would do. We need to start saying, Lord, I need to know what you would do in this situation, because it's only getting us into trouble. There's my soapbox. All right. Turn to, please, James 3. And I don't know if, you know, we have titles in our books these days. These were just one long letter and they put titles in, but we're going to look at James 3, verse 13. My title is Heavenly versus Demonic Wisdom. So right off the bat, James is going to identify that there are two forms of wisdom right now. There's heavenly wisdom or kingdom wisdom, and there's earthly wisdom or actual, he says, demonic wisdom. So sometimes we want to try to solve things, and I'm not talking, listen, every minute you don't have to go, okay, which fork do I use today? I need Holy Spirit wisdom. Now that just makes you kooky and wacky. You don't need that. But there are moments when family situations arise, you're like, I have no clue what to do. If you find yourself saying, I don't know what to do, great opportunity to say, I need wisdom. God, I need wisdom. God, I need wisdom. And it's great to go to books. There's nothing wrong with that. But I'll tell you, sometimes books can give you half an answer because your situation is unique. You know, the book that you're reading doesn't necessarily speak to your specific situation. So it's a great time to go, God, I need wisdom. I need your wisdom. I don't need earthly wisdom. I need heavenly wisdom. Amen? It says in verse 13, who is wise and understanding among you? So there's the question, right? Who is wise and understanding among you? Now we're going to begin to look at what kingdom wisdom looks like. Let him show by good conduct that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom. So right off the bat, you can find wise people based on this scripture verse, based on their conduct. If you find someone that is stirring up strife, envy, anger, they are not operating in a conduct that is of heavenly wisdom. You need to know that, right? They may have a lot of good advice, but in that moment, their conduct is not proving heavenly wisdom. I want to add this in because we sang that song, Christ Be Magnified. And sometimes, you know, if you come from a religious mindset, you'd be like, man, Christ be magnified in me. I don't feel like that's right. Did you know that every time that you do a work of the Lord, every time that you operate in the kingdom principles and giftings, he's glorified? That's why we can say, Lord, Christ be magnified in me. When I walk through or even in this house or when I walk out the doors, Christ be magnified. Really what we're saying is, Christ, help us walk kingdom so you can be glorified. That's what we're singing and saying. Lord, help me to operate like you operate. So then it says, verse 14, this is where it gets interesting. It says, but if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and be against the truth. I've marked it up so many times, I can't see it. Do not boast and lie against the truth. Thank you. One more time. But if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. It took me a while. I really had to ponder that scripture. And I sat before the Lord because it says bitter envy, which is actually bitter jealousy. Bitter meaning acidic. You know, when you get to a point where you're that jealous and your insides start getting acidic, you know you're in trouble. That's bad. And it says bitter envy and self-seeking or selfish ambition. Now, let me give you an idea of where I see this constantly right now. When you read the news right now, you have no clue of who's right. Like you have zero. Honestly, you have zero clue of who's right right now. Because you could read an article that says one thing and flip to an article that is opposite and proves with whether it's a doctor or it's a somebody that does finance. It doesn't matter who. So we have this trouble of what is the truth? And I look at that, it's like this. If I have selfish, okay, so let me give you an analogy. There's two people on a boat and we're fishing and we both want to catch fish. I'm with Rod. I don't know if Rod's watching, he's on vacation right now. I'm with Rod and we're fishing. Rod's a big fisherman. I'm not a big fisherman, but I'm going to, you know, I get competitive. So if I am fishing, I might as well catch a bigger fish than him. So we're fishing and I catch a fish. And it's as long as this mic. But with selfish ambition, I don't say it's as long as this mic. I say, man, the fish that I caught is this big. This big. Because what does it say? It says, do not boast and lie against the truth. So when I'm boasting and stretching, we say stretching the truth, it's lying. When we stretch the truth and we lie, we're doing it for whose gain? I'm not doing it for Rod's gain when I'm doing that. Whose gain? When I'm saying the fish that was this big is really this big, I'm boasting in myself for my own ambition so I can become maybe better, famous. We see it in social media all the time. You know, literally today, and I'll tell you about the post that I saw in the morning where I actually saw this happen. I don't know who's right, but I'll tell you about it. So the fish is this big, but I have my ambition of becoming well-known as a fisherman, so I say it's this big. Now, let's say that I catch a fish this big, and Rod is there with his bitter jealousy, and he says, okay, the fish was that big, but in his bitter jealousy, he says, the fish wasn't that big. He's lying to you. It was this big. Why? Because he's trying to tear me down now. In both cases, what is it? It's self-seeking. Either I don't want him to become bigger, better, more important than me, or he doesn't want it for me. It's both go the same way. And he's saying this is not the conduct of mature wisdom in Christ. He's going to go on in a second to explain what it looks like, and this is what we need. So this morning I woke up and I don't do Twitter. It's not really the thing that I do. But every once in a while I got this guy that I follow and I know that he pops up. And so he's in California. It's not Tom. It's somebody else. And they did a worship set on the beach because they're not supposed to be worshiping and singing in the church. So they thought, well, let's go open air. Let's go on the beach. And so they show pictures and he says, man, 1,000 people showed up. And right underneath it, somebody commented, yeah, there was no more than 200 people. You're lying. Well, now as a reader, you're left with, what, would I start counting the people in the picture? So I don't know. I want to trust my friend to say that, acquaintance, that I'm sure he's saying there's 1,000 people. He's a Christian. I want to trust that. But we know right now that people are saying things, and I'm like, I don't know if this is true. So either he was being, and I don't think he was, but let's say in hypothetically, he was being selfishly ambitious and there was only 200 people, but he wanted to make sure this event looked bigger than it really was. So he said, there was 1,000 people. Could have went that way. Or it could be somebody that's bitter against this person and it's like, there was not 1,000 people. There was, but I'm not going to tell people that. There's like 200. You're a liar. And this is happening in posts, in the news. It's all over the place. Are you seeing it? Shake your head or raise your hand if you're like, yes, I see this happening. It's happening like crazy. And what it's causing is the next thing. Read on. It says, "For 15, this wisdom does not descend from above, but it's earthly, sensual, and demonic. When I stretch the truth to make myself look better, I've all of a sudden discovered that that is either earthly, sensual, or demonic. I don't want to be a part of that. Anybody else? That's why I am so careful when a miracle happens in here that we get the facts. Because I don't want it to ever come back that we stretch the facts to make it seem a little bit bigger and cool. Right? So if a toe gets healed and it took 3 weeks, we need to say a toe got healed and it took 3 weeks. And somebody may say, well, that was the natural, you know, that was the natural process of it? Well, actually, the doctor said it was going to take 6 weeks. We prayed. It took three weeks. So we're pretty excited about that. But we don't want to say we prayed and it went instantaneously healed. His toe was this big and it went down to this big. Like, that is selfish ambition. Why are we doing that? Because we want people to see us. We want to become famous. We want to become more important. And that has nothing in God's kingdom. So in 16, it says, for where, here's the key, listen. For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there. Doesn't that kind of describe the scenario we're in right now? There is so much confusion over this planet, it's incredible. I think if we walk this well, we will come through COVID. But I'm not sure all our relationships will. I'm not sure all our connections of love will. I'm not sure all the churches are going to survive. Did you know that pastors are checking out right now like never before? Because the confrontation that is happening among church members of disagreeing what you should do is so high that they're like, this is not worth it. I'm done. Over what? In the end, is that really what we want to be known by? I'm not saying us, but the church as a whole? That we didn't walk this well? And then on top of that, when we have access to heavenly wisdom, like there's something wrong. I sit back and I have to get patient. But I get frustrated. I'm like, Lord, this is not the body of Christ that we should be seeing. This is not family. This is blah, blah, blah. For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there. I just want to read one more scripture that goes right along with it. It is 1 Corinthians 3, verse 3. You don't have to turn there. It says, for you are still fleshly. For since there is jealousy and strife among you, are you not fleshly? Are you not walking like mere men? Think of that for a second. For since there is jealousy and strife among you, are you not fleshly? Are you not walking like mere men? Basically what he's saying, because of all this, you're walking like you're just part of the earth. You're not. You're not mere men. You're kingdom. You're new creation people. So if you walk like that, you're walking in the flesh, which means you're walking in the earthly thoughts. We need to be over here in, because listen, when you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and he becomes king, I know it's hard to understand because we don't always feel it, but that minute that that happens, you actually get a DNA transfer and you begin to become like him. Now, a lot of times we want to crucify people because they're not like them right away. Well, were you walking right away? Right? When you were born, did you walk out of your mother's womb? I really hope not for your mom's sake. But the reality is that somewhere between like 9 and 10 months, all the way up to 2 years, you start walking and then you start talking and you start eating your own food. And before you know it, like my kids, they're about to drive. But that didn't happen out of the womb. What is my point? DNA takes time to grow. And scriptures, or expand, we need to learn. Scriptures are for that purpose, where we begin to read and go, oh, I'm acting like that. I'm not supposed to be. I didn't realize that. I need to get into my new creation reality. So let's read a little more. But the wisdom that is from above. So he just told us what earthly wisdom looks like. But he says, but the wisdom that is from above is first. Now you got to read this. Because if we're finding ourselves in the opposite, we need to, you know, it's not a bad you, you're terrible. It's like, no, I need to get better. I need to call out for wisdom because this is what it looks like. First, it's pure. Then it's peaceable. It's gentle. It's willing to yield. Wow. It's willing to yield. I don't see right now in conversations on the internet or in person a lot of people willing to yield. And I sit back often. I've tried so hard not to get involved in conversations because I'm like, is this a mountain I really want to die on? Because some of these mountains, I'm like, it ain't worth dying. Because reality is in 2 years, we won't be talking about this mountain. But if I don't learn how to function properly right now, I might be dying on that mountain 2 years from now, or I might already be dead. So look at the words again. First, pure. I look at pure. It's like wisdom that is not, I don't want to drink 60% water and 40% sewage. Anybody else? I don't want to drink 95% pure water and 5% sewage. 99%, I want pure. Really. And it is not easy. I'm not saying that this is an easy walk. Jesus never said it would be easy. But he never said that we shouldn't do it. He said, go after it. For wherever, so first it's pure. Then it's peaceable. We need a whole lot of peace right now, don't we? We need people that are ambassadors of Christ that carry peace, that come in conversations and just begin to bring the anxiety down, the fear down, the worry down. That is our amazing and beautiful God-given right. Think about that. We get to be ambassadors of peace. It's amazing. Does it always work? No. But if we don't know it's our responsibility, we talked about that last week, we'll never try. But I want to let you know, everybody look at your neighbor and say, do you know that's your responsibility? You are an ambassador of Christ. When you become a Christian, you don't have to sign up for it. You are an ambassador of Christ. It says it's pure, it's peaceable, it's gentle, it's willing to yield, it's full of mercy and without hypocrisy. Wow. I think we could camp out there for 2 years to try to get that right. But I'm really trying hard in these days to make sure when I speak, it's the truth and no hypocrisy. I don't want to in the end, and I'm convinced sometimes we don't even mean to do it. We just say something. Sometimes we repeat what we've heard without checking facts and find ourselves later on going, oh my gosh, I was saying something that was totally bogus. I don't want to be a hypocrite. I want to be full of truth. But then it ends with this. It says, now the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. I want to read a few of the lines from a different translation. So this is the NLT, James 3:17. But the wisdom from above is first of all pure. It is also peace-loving, gentle at all times, and willing to yield to others. It is full of mercy and good deeds. It shows no favoritism and is always sincere. I read the whole book of James, most of the book of James. I shouldn't say the whole book. I think I got to four. Not much left. And I thought, man, if we just actually lived in the book of James, racism wouldn't exist. Because a chapter before it says, show no partiality. And this is a day and age where there were multiple generations around because this was the Middle East. And so he's literally saying, hey, if somebody comes into your room or your service and they have rings and amazing robes and you have somebody else that comes in and they're poor, don't show the rich man favoritism. Show all equal. And that goes across every denomination, every color, every tribe, every sex, every, you know, it's everyone. Like, show no one favoritism. Show everyone equal love. That's a good word. Thank you about bringing the love. That was a really good word, Dean. Let me read this out of the Passion Translation. I'm going to close. It says, but the wisdom from above is always pure. It's filled with peace. It's considerate and teachable. Are we teachable right now? On the mountain that you're willing to die on, if you have the wisdom from heaven, are you willing to be teachable? Am I willing to be teachable? Am I willing to seek to understand? That was a few weeks back. Am I willing to stop and go, you know what, I'm not going to die on this mountain. I'm going to stop and I'm going to listen to somebody else's opinion. Because they may carry a key for you or for me that I didn't even know. I've had that so many times. I remember the first time I ever heard Bill Johnson talk about how he would get prophetic words from the people that annoyed him the most. And they would always be accurate. And he would have to swallow his pride and go, you know what? They're hearing from God. They annoy me. And you know what? Since I heard that story, at times I've had that happen where somebody, you're like, this person isn't prophetic. And then they come and tell you something. You're like, sorry, Lord. I guess they're a little more prophetic than I thought. At least you're talking through them just to get to me, probably. So that goes back to wisdom and having a teachable heart. teachable. It's filled with love. This is wisdom. It is filled with love, never displays prejudice or hypocrisy in any form, and it always bears the beautiful harvest of righteousness. Did you hear that? It always bears the beautiful harvest of righteousness. Good seeds of wisdom's fruit will be planted and peaceful acts by those who cherish making peace. I love the fact that it says, if you follow this behavior, it actually produces a harvest of righteousness. How many would rather have a harvest of righteousness in your life than a harvest of confusion, anger, turmoil, rage? Anybody else rather have a harvest of righteousness? Then that's why James says, be doers of the word and not just hearers. You know, Dean, you said about tearing down religion. Absolutely. And one of the ways that I would love to see, I want to get better at walking out the simple gospel. Because so often we go after the big things. I love going after the big things. I want to see more miracles happen here. I really do. But you know what I actually want to see happen even more? People walking out in kingdom. Because kingdom includes miracles. But it also includes heavenly wisdom. Like, I would love to have so much wisdom that I could change and help people's lives. To bring, like, if you're watching the news, they're showing more and more. And if you catch it, you're like, oh my gosh. But the anger that is on people in stores. If they're told to wear a mask, you see this rage come out of people. And these poor people that are just trying to do their job. I feel so bad for them because they're like, I'm just doing what my manager said. We're told you have to wear a mask. But the bigger story in all of this is the rage in people. Like, I would love to be able to walk in, and I'm sure after I say this, I'll have the opportunity, but to be able to walk into a situation and go, Lord, give me your peace right now. I could still feel it. Give me your peace right now that I could walk in and calm the situation down. That I can bring peace to somebody that has obviously got something going on in their life. This is just a tip of the iceberg. It's like everything's being let out. It's like the dam breaks in that moment. The one person I saw lost their job. It was public. Somebody recorded it. They worked for an insurance company. It got back to the insurance company. He is now without a job. He got fired because they're like, that's not behavior that represents our company. So in one moment of lack of wisdom, he now is fired and jobless. That's not what we want. So when you walk into a store and you know there's tension, you need to say, Lord, Holy Spirit, fill me. Wisdom come upon me. Peace. Are you hearing the fact that wisdom actually carries peace? Wisdom carries, it's not just wise decisions, it actually carries peace. So Lord, I'm walking into the store right now. Last time I was in here, it didn't go so well because there were some angry people. Or, you know, I think of Heather, you know, you've had some challenging situations. You know, people are angry in stores. Nobody likes the new format. I get it. But doesn't mean that we respond that way. I challenge you to walk in whistling, if you whistle. You know, we have to abide. You know, people don't like to get close, and that's great. And, you know, we should abide by that. But you could be like, hey, how's your day going? You having a good day? You know, I so wish, Heather, if I could go back in time, I so wish I could have jumped on the counter that day when this all broke out. That was a Friday. I wish I could have jumped on the counter and just went, aren't these people doing an amazing job today helping you and serving you? Because I know there would have been a whole bunch of people that clapped for you guys. That was a rough day for you. That was a pandemic. You know, that's when everybody went crazy, you know, bought toilet paper. I love it now that you're hearing stories where Costco's like, don't even return your toilet paper. You had a lack of wisdom and you thought the worst thing that could happen is you can't wipe your bum. That's what you went to. I'm like, give me food. I'll figure something out. Give me food. But that's called a herd mentality. It's called a mob mentality. And that's where people get caught up without going, whoa, 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 whoa. Let's dial this down a notch. Let's think with wisdom for a minute, right? Give me the steak, not the toilet paper. That's wisdom. Why don't you stand with me? So we have an opportunity, church, to, you know, I started with that, you know, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. You know, he's not saying throw a party because you're about to get persecuted. It's not like that. But what he is saying is, hey, great opportunity for you to step up in your behavior. great opportunity for you to move to that next level of peace, that next level of seeking my wisdom. Great opportunity. Let's see how you do. Have you ever had a situation where you're like, oh, if I could only have a do-over? Anybody else? And then you go through it again. You're like, that feels really familiar. Okay, third time. I promise. Third time, do-over, it's going to be better. So the point is that we're just getting better. But when you're aware of it, you'll get better quicker. Amen? So Father God, we reach out to you, and like Psalms and Proverbs, we say, Lord, we need wisdom. We call out to you. Wisdom, we need you. Holy Spirit, we need you. We need you to fill us up afresh and anew. And even as Krista started with that waterfall analogy, cascading hope, I thank you that when a waterfall is at its fullest, or any waterfall really most of the time, it's almost impossible to stop that water. So Holy Spirit, we pray like that waterfall that you would fall upon us. Your wisdom would saturate us. We corporately say we need your wisdom in this hour. We need to walk with wisdom. We need to walk with peace. We do not want to look back and go, man, that was earthly, sensual, demonic wisdom that I walked in. We want to look back and go, Lord, thank you. That was wisdom from heaven above. So we just say, Lord, help in Jesus' name. Lord, I pray you protect everyone here today. I pray you cover them with the blood of Jesus. I pray that you surround them. I pray, Lord, that your blessing would be upon them. And as a father and a priest of this house, I say, Lord, would you bless every person here in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for listening to our podcast. If you'd like to learn more about Antioch, you can visit us online at antiochcanada.ca.